as his family. Our first message was about the family of God, all those who are called in Christ Jesus. Now we want to turn our attention to the family of God. That being a family that is ruled by God's word. We just spoke about how it may be necessary to leave father, mother, sisters, brothers for Jesus' sake. But how much better if a family as a whole would come to Christ? Worshipping Jesus Christ together as a family in which God rules. This is the pattern that is ideal in the family relationship. So for this session, I want us to look at what God's Word says about a Christian home and family. Now, first and foremost, we have to agree that a family that is a Christian family is a family in which God is actively ruling. I want to read as an introduction that may seem unrelated to you from Hebrews chapter
3.
A fairly long reading, but a reading that I think might frame our minds properly. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through verse
6.
ព្រះរាជបត្រា nâng sự cái đây làm nuốt cho phua sự cái đây sống khâm nế giang chấp chuôn đò rác đò chông bọc phát mẹn
Amen.
And now 4 verse 1 Buôn cặp mùi
Ả lấy an bục buôn khờ mùi
We are known to be the family of God if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. As the family of God, we have received many promises of God's presence and work in our life. We have been promised peace and rest. But we are told, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Unbelief can separate us from the promises of God. Unbelief can make that which is given to us in this life by Jesus Christ inaccessible or perhaps unattainable. So with this in mind, I want us to look at some of the promises God has given us and how they apply in our homes. I want us to consider the instructions God gives us for our families and our homes. Now, in order for us to consider this subject, it's important that we remember something we discussed earlier. God's purpose of salvation in Jesus Christ began before the world ever was created. His relationship with his people as his family began then. In his purpose, it was already fixed. Now, when God created man in the garden, remember he created Adam, a perfect and upright man? He gave him a job to do, he gave him a command to keep. But then God created a woman. Let's remember what God said at that time. God, the one who made man, he looked at man and he said, "It is good and very good." But then in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." He caused a sleep to fall over Adam. He removed one of his ribs, and from that rib he made a woman.
Adam,
In verse 23 through 25, we find what Adam said and did. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This was the moment in which God instituted marriage. And marriage is the heart of the family. A family begins with a father and a mother. We can go now to Matthew chapter 19. Jesus reaffirms this fact. The Pharisees, they attacked Jesus by attacking the foundation of marriage. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees, they asked Jesus a question: is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
Amen.
So God's command, Jesus' command, is what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I want to give you a couple of different ways of thinking about the institution of marriage. Remembering that God ordained and established His family before the world was ever made. There are some people who they say, oh, marriage, it is the first institution of God. They say marriage, it comes before the church. They say the family, it is the most important thing. But what I want to suggest to you from the scripture today is that marriage itself is from the beginning a picture of God's love for His people. What we do in our families, what we do in our families is a depiction of what we think about our God. Jesus said, from the beginning, God said that man should cleave to his wife. They should leave father and mother and be as one flesh. And he says, what God's joined together, man should not put asunder. This morning we talked about how Jesus said a man should be willing to leave his father and his mother. Willing to be enemies with his sister and his brother. To follow Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Let's begin by reading verse 17 through verse 21.
ហើយខំអោយយល់បំណងព្រះហឫទ័យព្រះចាស់វិញខ 23 ក៏អោយស្រង់ស្រាងដែលនាំឲ្យព្រះចិត្តឡើងតែជួលឲ្យបានពេញដោយព្រះវិញ្ញាណវិញហើយនិយាយគ្នាទៅវិញទៅមកដោយបាត់ជំនុកក្នុងការជំនុកបរិសុទ្ធនិងជ្រៀងខាងឯវិញ្ញាណទាំងជ្រៀងហើយសរសើរដល់ព្រះម្ចាស់ដោយចិត្ត 23
Amen. This is the preface. I want you to read this because Paul writes this first. His subject is that we be not unwise, but rather understand what the will of the Lord is. He gives us instruction for our worship that we should not be drunk but rather filled with the Spirit. That we should sing one to another and to the Lord. That we should be giving thanks to God the Father. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. His subject here is what we as children of God in the family of God, the church of God, ought to be doing. We should be submitting ourselves one to another. There is no change of chapter or break between verse 21 and
22.
The subject is the same. The subject is the family of God. But Paul appeals to the natural family as his example.
ជាគំរូរបស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស
់ And he tells us how we are to live in marriage.
ហើយបានប្រាប់យើងអំពីអ្វីដែលយើងរៀបការហើយយើងត្រូវរស់នៅ
Verse 22 Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
ហើយនៅខ22បង្ហាញអំពីអ្វីដែលយើងបានដឹងថាស្ត្រីរាល់គ្នាអើយចូលចំពោះប្តីខ្លួនទៅដូចជាព្រះម្ចាស់ដែរ
For the husband is the head of the wife even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body
បាត់ប្តីជាក្បាលនៃប្រពន្ធដូចជាព្រះគ្រីស្ទទ្រង់ជាព្រះសិរសានៃពួកជំនុំក៏ជាព្រះអង្គសង្គ្រោះនៃយើងរូបដល់រូបកាយដែរ
Therefore as the church is subject unto Christ so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything
ដូច្នេះអហើយជាពួកជំនុំចុះចូលនឹងព្រះគ្រីស្ទជាយ៉ាងណានោះត្រូវឲ្យប្រពន្ធចុះចូលនឹងប្តីខ្លួនក្នុងគ្រប់ការទាំងអស់នោះដែរ
Go ahead and read through verse 28
សូមអានដល់ខ28បរិយរាល់គ្នាចូលស្រឡាញ់ប្រពន្ធដោយជាព្រះគ្រីស្ទទ្រង់ស្រឡាញ់ដល់ពួកជំនុំហើយបានប្រគល់អង្គទ្រង់ដល់ពួកជំនុំអង្គទ្រង់ជំនួសផងដើម្បីឲ្យទ្រង់បានញែកពួកជំនុំចេញជាបរិសុទ្ធដែលបានលាងសម្អាតដោយសារទឹកនិងព្រះបន្ទូលប្រយោជន៍ឲ្យពួកជំនុំប្រយោជន៍នឹងស្វាយពួកជំនុំទាំងអស់ដល់ព្រះអង្គទ្រង់ទុកជាពួកជំនុំដល់ដល់អត់ប្រឡាក់អត់ជួយឬអត់មានអ្វីឲ្យដូចឡើយគឺឲ្យបានបរិសុទ្ធខាងនឹងកន្លែងហើយអត់មានកន្លែងបន្ទោសបានវិញឲ្យស្ត្រីត្រូវឲ្យប្តីស្រឡាញ់ប្រពន្ធបែបយ៉ាងនោះឯងគឺឲ្យដូចជាស្រឡាញ់ប្រពន្ធស្រឡាញ់រូបកាយខ្លួនអ្នកណាដែលស្រឡាញ់ប្រពន្ធនៅប្រពន្ធខ្លួននោះឈ្មោះតាស្រឡាញ់តារូបកាយខ្លួនឯងហើយ29ត្បិតมันមានអ្នកណាដែលស្អប់រូបសាច់ខ្លួនឯងឡើយគឺគេតែងតែចិញ្ចឹមមកថ្នាក់ថ្នមទៅវិញដូចជាព្រះអម្ចាស់ទ្រង់ចិញ្ចឹមដល់ពួកជំនុំដែរប្រសាទត្បិតយើងរាល់គ្នាជាអវយវៈរបស់ព្រះអង្គនឹងរូបសាច់អង្គទ្រង់ដែលនៅបានជាមនុស្សប្រុសនឹងលាចេញពីឪពុកម្ដាយទៅទៅជាប់នឹងប្រពន្ធហើយអ្នកទាំងពីរត្រឡប់ទៅជាមួយទៅជាប់គ្នាពិបាកដ
ល់វិញ Good finish the chapter through some five
ដល់ឲ្យជាប់ណាឲ្យដាច់ខ្លះសេចក្តីអត់កំបាំងនេះវាជ្រឿជ្រើយអូជ្រឿជ្រើយទៀតតែងតែខ្ញុំនិយាយខាងឯព្រះគ្រីស្ទនៅពួកជំនុំប៉ុន្តែនៅខ33ប៉ុន្តែត្រូវឲ្យអ្នករាល់គ្នាត្រូវឲ្យស្រឡាញ់ប្រពន្ធខ្លួនដូចជាខ្លួនឯងហើយអត់អហើយប្រពន្ធក៏ត្រូវកោតខ្លាចប្តីដែរបាទស្រឡាញ់ក្បាលតាត់ទេកាន់ជួបទេ
Very long reading, I know. Now let's think about it together. We talk about the subject of submission. He say in the marriage, in the family, wife is to submit to husband. But this submission, it is an act of worship to God. Because what Paul says is, the family, the marriage, it is a picture of Jesus and the church. Jesus is our husband, we are the wife. That's why Jesus says we are to leave father and mother, family, to follow him.
មនុស្សប្រុសនឹងលាចាកចេញពីទ្រព្យសម្បត្តិឪពុកម្ដាយបងប្អូនប្រុសស្រីតែនៅជាប់ជាមួយប្រពន្ធ
Because God's word teaches us that the husband is the head of the wife they are together to leave their parents and establish a new home
ហើយអ្នកដែលយើងដឹងថាប្តីជាក្បាលនៃប្រពន្ធហើយប្តីជាអ្នកដឹកនាំនៅក្នុងក្រុមគ្រួសារនិងផ្ទះ
This same idea is established in the Hebrew letter where we read. Moses, he was the son over his house. Paul appeals to the Hebrews. He says, leave the law service behind and come to Christ.
Paul said, leave the law service behind and come to Christ.
He is a son over his house. Jesus employs the same idea in Matthew chapter 25 and other places. He talks about himself as the bridegroom. When they came and asked him, why do your disciples not fast often like John's disciples do? What did Jesus say? Do you remember? He said, the children of the bride chamber, they don't mourn while the bridegroom is with them. He said, when I leave, then will they fast, then will they mourn. Jesus embraced this idea of himself as the bridegroom and the church as his bride. So what Paul suggests and what Jesus says is that from the very beginning when God instituted marriage, he was depicting his love for his people. It's very important for us to understand and accept this reality, or else we will have a confused view of marriage. Why is it that marriage is structured so that the husband, he is the head, and the wife, she is to submit? Is it because the husband is smarter than the wife? No. Is it because he is better than the wife? No. It is nothing to do with the man who is the husband. It is because Jesus Christ is the head. Maybe your husband, he is not so smart. Maybe he is not a man who is worthy of respect. Maybe he has made bad choices. If it is he who is to be head based on his qualifications, how can you submit to him if he is not qualified? But if you recognize that he is responsible, because your marriage is a picture of Christ and his church, if you are able to recognize that your marriage is worship to Christ, it is a picture of Christ, then you will be able to do what God's will is for you. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is the command of Christ for marriage. And it has nothing to do with the two individuals involved. It is about the woman, the wife's relationship with Jesus Christ. So here we see what he say to the woman. He says that God will honor you, God will bless you if you honor and bless your husband. Even if he is not honorable, even if he doesn't seem worthy of blessing. In another place, Paul points out to us that the woman was created for the man to be a helpmeet to him. Paul doesn't leave his instruction there with the women, though. For us men, he gives a much more weighty instruction. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. To the wife, he says, oh, just you submit yourself to your husband. You encourage him and strengthen him as he is the head in your family. Oh, but to the man, he says, you be like Christ. You love your wife like Christ loves the church. Wow, earlier in this epistle, Paul says, I want you to be able to understand the love of Christ. He says it's a love that is past knowing. I want you to be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the length and breadth of the love of Christ. And now he says to us, husbands, love your wife the same way that Jesus loves the church. How much does he love his church? Well, he loves the church, his people, his family, so much that he gave himself for them. He died for it. And he lives for it. He gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That he might present to himself a glorious church. Holy and without blemish. Men should love their wives so much that their wives grow more and more and more beautiful. More and more and more godly. More holy. Men are not to tear down their wives, but to build them up. Husbands are not to take advantage of their authority to beat their wives down. That's not what Jesus does with his family. Jesus gives gifts to his family. He builds them up. He edifies them. So that's how men should love their wives. Verse 28. 28, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Because after all, a man that loves his wife is loving himself. It is more than just words when God speaks and says that man should cleave to his wife and they should be one flesh. And it is more than words when the Apostle Paul says that we are the body of Jesus Christ. Are you familiar with that way of looking at the church? Paul says we are all members of his body, and Jesus Christ, he is the head. That's how it's to be in our family. The husband and wife, they are to be as one. Working together, not fighting against each other. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Verse 31, he quotes again the Lord, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And in verse 32, he says this is more than the establishment of natural families. He said, "This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church." Nevertheless, every one of you love your wife even as yourself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So this is the picture of a Christian marriage. The foundation of a Christian home. This subject is also discussed when it comes to the qualifications of a minister of the gospel. As Paul writes to Timothy and to Titus, in the book of Titus, he writes of the man who is going to be a pastor in the church. He says of that man that he must rule well his own house. He says a bishop, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife. He says he is a man who is going to have a wife. He must only have one wife. Because Christ only has one bride. It says that the house is to be ruled well. And the family of the man of God must be a proper picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. The wife is to be united with him in his ministry. And together they are to have their children under control. Now there is much said in the Word of God of the responsibility of the wife and of the husband in running the household. There are specific commands and there are general commands. And also there are examples given. But the chief example must and always shall be the example of Jesus Christ loving His church. Paul lays hold of this example and asserts it as the principal thing. The next instruction I want to look at is continuing on in chapter 6, verse
1.
You know, with the establishment of a family with a husband and wife, the natural outcome is that there are children. And children, they enter into this picture as a type of Jesus Christ and His church. Remember, we looked earlier where it said Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. And chapter 6, verse 1 begins, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obedience is important. Parents must instruct their children in obedience. Otherwise, the family will not and cannot be a proper picture of Christ in the church. How does God deal with His children? Remember earlier, Hebrews chapter 12? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. If anyone receives no chastening, they are bastards, they are not sons. The Word of God always has instructed children to respect, to honor, to obey their parents. For our children, what do we teach them? We teach them, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. As is always the case, the motivation for obedience is not what we will receive good for obeying. The chief motivation is that it is right. He goes back to the Old Testament law. He says, "Honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first commandment with promise." You remember the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses? One of the commandments was this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, that it may be well with thee."
Hãy subscribe cho kênh Ghiền Mì Gõ Để không bỏ lỡ những video hấp dẫn.
A Christian home is a home where the wife and the husband have a relationship that is like the relationship between Jesus and his church. It's a nurturing and a loving relationship. It's a relationship where the wife willingly and gladly submits to the authority of the husband. And the husband willingly sacrifices what he would like for the good of his family. It is a relationship that is centered upon Jesus Christ and His Word. Wanting to obey His commands. And it is a family in which the children willingly and joyfully submit to the authority of their parents. They are obedient to that which is commanded of them. They honor their father and their mother. Just as we in the family of God are to honor the heritage and the establishment of the church, and we are to honor Jesus Christ first as our head. And with this comes a great promise. It will be well with you. Our children need to know that in their obedience and doing what is right, there is a benefit. There is long life. Also in the church of God, we need to realize that when we honor what God has established in His church, when we honor Jesus Christ personally, there is a blessing for us. God will not forsake us as a church. The candlestick, it will not be removed. He will come in and out among us. We individually will be established long upon the earth. We only have to go to the first few chapters of Revelation to see what happens to a church that does not honor the Father. That is not obedient to the command for the structure of the church. You remember what Jesus says to the Laodicean church? He says, I'm on the outside knocking, but you won't open to me. You think you have need of nothing. You know, sometimes children get that way, especially when they get to be a little older. They begin to think they know better than their parents. They think they don't need their parents. They think their way is better. And when they disobey and dishonor their parents, it is not an attack on their parents. It's an attack on the ordinance of God. Because God is the one who has commanded what is right. Now, Parents are given authority over their children, obviously. Just as Christ has authority over his church. But he does not say that that authority is to be taken lightly or to be abused. Jesus is kind to his children. Oh yes, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But he goes on to say that chastening, while it doesn't seem pleasant when it's being received, it works for our good. It is intended for our good. And there are benefits to it. Paul cautions us now. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, the family relationship, the relationship between parents and children, just like the relationship between the husband and the wife, is centered on God and His Word and His will. It's built upon His instruction. And fathers, if they are harsh, if they are mean, if they are angry with their children without cause, if they issue commands and then change their mind, all of these things, they can provoke children to wrath. They can cause the children to harden their hearts, to not receive the instruction of their father. And this is outside of the will of God. The father, he will be held responsible for this. Quickly, back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The qualification of the ministry. Chapter 3, verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity.
Some animal now. Animal now.
Then he says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? In Titus, he says that he must have faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. A person's children reflect positively or negatively upon their life and their ministry. In the Proverbs, over and over and over again, Solomon, he writes about a son's obligation to his parents. He talks about how a disobedient child brings shame to his mother. How a father's reputation is hurt by a child who is not obedient. And all of this is a picture of Christ and His church. Because we are the children of God. All of this is an example for us to consider. Now, unfortunately, all are not believers. This is the picture of a believing home. A home where Jesus Christ is central in our thoughts. But you know, even in a home like this, it is not easy. You know, as a husband, I am supposed to be a picture of Christ. I am supposed to love my wife like Jesus loves His church. So often I fall short of this calling. Oh, the feeling is there. I love my wife. I would very gladly give my life for her. But so often the actions, they do not follow. Sometimes I say unkind words to her. Sometimes I grow impatient with her. I am so thankful, Jesus, He is always patient, He is always loving. You know, sometimes my wife, though she is a very good woman, she sometimes does not want to submit to what I say. Sometimes, because of how I have treated her, she wants to argue with me. In these ways, this picture of Christ and His church is marred. But sometimes a man and woman, they are married and one is not a believer. Maybe the woman, she believes, and the husband, he does not. What then? Are they freed from the responsibility of this command? No. Oh no. Because in the beginning, God established marriage. A long time before He revealed His word. And this relationship is still a picture of Christ and His church. The family is still an ordinance of God. You remember Jesus' answer to the question we read at the beginning of this message? The Pharisees, they asked Jesus, "Can a man put away his wife for any cause?" Jesus said, no, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. He goes on to say, Moses gave you an exception. Moses, he allowed you to divorce one another. But only for the cause of adultery. This is the only reason why you may separate. But Jesus says, even this is only because of the hardness of your hearts. You see, the problem in marriages that fail is hardened heart. A failure to understand or to realize that a marriage is a picture of Christ. Or a failure to remember how bad we are when Jesus died for us. You see, there's nothing that my wife could ever do to me. That can compare to what I have done to my Savior. Several times in Old Testament prophecy, God gives examples of how His people are to Him. It is not a pretty picture. You know, Moses allowed divorce in cases of adultery. But God said to the prophet Hosea, you go and marry a prostitute. And you continue to be married to her and you love her while she continues to do her profession. God says, this is what my people are like. He says, I am married to a wife who has not committed adultery one time, but who does so every single night. And yet he says, I have not put her away. So what God teaches us about marriage is to be forever. The only thing that can end our marriage is a hardened heart. A heart that has forgotten Christ. Now, how about those cases where the husband or the wife is an unbeliever? Back where we read in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, I want you to notice something when Jesus spoke here. He said, I am come to set a man at variance with his father and daughter against her mother. He says that you are to forsake all family ties here.
Aye.
He says in verse 21, brother shall deliver brother to death, father child, children shall rise up against their parents. Do you notice what he does not say there? He does not say husband against wife. He does not say, I am come to set husband against wife. But I also want you to see in Matthew chapter 19 where we read. There he does say, everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold.
What verse? Verse
29. So, Jesus does allow something here for a man's wife to be left behind. I would like to suggest that this talks not about a leaving of the marriage, but rather of a separation. But now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter
7.
Here is where God addresses the subject of problems in marriage. So here is the command of God, do not separate from your husband. And the command continues, let's read verse 12 and
13.
Here is what to do if your husband is not a believer, if your wife is not a believer. You see, God's word, it is a thorough furnisher. It gives us the answer for the problem. But what if your husband, he will not stay married to you because you believe?
អបិសិនបើប្តីមិនរៀបការជាមួយយើងមិនព្រមរស់នៅជាមួយយើងដល់យើងជឿព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទ
What if your wife say because you are a believer I will leave
ហើយប្តីក៏បាននិយាយថាបើសិនបើឯងជឿប្រពន្ធណាហើយជឿព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទអញលាហើយ
Well this is what Jesus was speaking of when he said if you have forsaken wives or children for my sake
ហើយគ្រប់ការទាំងអស់ដែលយើងពាក់ព័ន្ធគ្នានឹងពពុះម៉ាថាយពុះ19មិញថាអ្នកដែលត្រូវលះបង់ចោលប្រពន្ធកូន
Verse 15 and 16
សូមអានខ10 15 16ទៀតមក
15
16បាទសូមអាន
អ្នកដែលមិនជឿពេលដកខ្លួនចេញនោះឲ្យគេចេញចោលយ៉ាងនោះបងប្អូនប្រុសឬស្រីនឹងមិននៅជាប់ចំណងទៀតទេប៉ុន្តែព្រះទ្រង់បានហៅយើងរាល់គ្នាឲ្យមានសេចក្តីមេត្រីនឹងគ្នាវិញបិទអាស្ត្រីអើយប្រហែលជានាងនឹងសង្គ្រោះប្តីបានទេដឹងឬបុរសអើយប្រហែលជាអ្នកនឹងសង្គ្រោះប្រពន្ធបានដែរទេដឹង
Yeah. Amen.
So, he say here that it is possible that even though your husband he does not believe, or even though your wife does not believe, maybe they will be saved by what you do before them. As long as they are willing to remain married to you,
គេនឹងបានសង្គ្រោះតាមរយៈប្តីឬក៏ប្រពន្ធទេដឹងពីព្រោះកម្មសិទ្ធិទាំងអស់ជារបស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់
You should remain with them, you should love them, you should be what God has called you to be for them.
យើងត្រូវតែបំពេញយើងត្រូវតែស្រឡាញ់គ្នាទៅវិញទៅមកពីព្រោះអ្វីដែលព្រះម្ចាស់ទ្រង់មានព្រះបន្ទូលមកកាន
់ Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 3.
ឥឡូវត្រឡប់ទៅព្រះគម្ពីរពេត្រុស
The context it is suffering. Difficulty. And now he says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Maybe it's easy to be in subjection to a husband who loves the Lord. But that's not what Peter talks about. Read verse 1 and verse 2.
មួយកាពីជំពូក
3ហើយពួកស្រីស្រីត្រូវចោះចូលចំពោះប្តីខ្លួនបែបដូចនោះដែរដើម្បីបើមានអ្នកណាដែលមិនព្រមស្ដាប់បង្គាប់តាមព្រះបន្ទូលនោះប្រពន្ធនឹងទាញចិត្តមកបានដោយសារកិរិយាល្អក្រៅពីព្រះបន្ទូលដោយអ្នកនោះឃើញកិរិយាបរិសុទ្ធដែលប្រពន្ធប្រព្រឹត្តយ៉ាងកោតខ្លាចដល់ព្រះទាំងតែងខ្លួន
តើបើថាតើទៅទៀត
តាមតែងខ្លួនមិនមែនដោយបែបខាងក្រៅដូចជាក្រមសក់ពាក់មាសឬសម្លៀកបំពាក់ផ្សេងៗណាយ
អាមែនអាមែន
ដាក់មួយដល់ក
៏ Yeah now go ahead and read through verse 6 and we'll finish this section
ដល់ខ6ចាំចោល
គឺតែងចំពោះមនុស្សលក្ខណៈបានក្នុងចិត្តវិញដោយគ្រឿងដល់មិនចេះពុករលួយរបស់វិញ្ញាណសំឡូតហើយរំទុំនោះឯងជាសេចក្តីដែលមានតម្លៃពិសេសនៅចំពោះព្រះស្បិតទីដើមគួរស្រីស្រីបរិសុទ្ធដែលសង្ឃឹមដល់ព្រះក៏បានតែងខ្លួនយ៉ាងដូចនោះទាំងចង់ចូលចំពោះស្ដីខ្លួនដែរដូចជានាងសារ៉ាបានចង់ចូលនឹងលោកអាប់រ៉ាហាំព្រមទាំងឲ្យលោកជាម្ចាស់ផងឯអ្នករាល់គ្នាក៏បានត្រឡប់ជាពូជនាងនោះដែលបានប្រព្រឹត្តល្អឥតខ្វះខៃនឹងសេចក្តីឆ្ងាញ់ខ្លាចណាស់ឡើយ
អាមែន
អាមែន
ណាបើបរិបានចូលរួមល្អ
ណាស់ As I have said already it seems clear that the greater responsibility the greaterburden is upon the man in the marriage because he is to be like Christ
ការទាំងអស់នេះខ្ញុំបាននិយាយរួចមកហើយអំពីប្តីហើយនឹងប្រពន្ធដែលបានរៀបការរួចហើយមានចំណងក៏ហើយតែចំណងចងជាប់នៅក្នុងព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទនោះជួយឲ្យយើងមានការទាំងអស់ដែលយើងបានដឹងហើយយើងត្រូវតែ
But that said, I think maybe from the weight of scripture we can see that the more difficult task belonged to the woman.
ឥឡូវនេះយើងចូលដល់មួយដែលជាបន្ទុកដ៏ធ្ងន់ចំពោះស្ត្រីទៀតហើយឥឡូវនេះ
Because it seemed like maybe the woman is the more lovable.
អាយកាលទាំងនេះយើងឃើញថាវាហាក់បីដូចជាស្ត្រីនោះស្រឡាញ់បរោះខ្លាំងជាងទៀតហើយ
Over and over and over again.
ស្រឡាញ់ហើយស្រឡាញ់ទៀតស្រឡាញ់ហើយស្រឡាញ់ទៀតស្រឡាញ់
The woman, she is instructed to be submissive to her husband.
ហើយស្ត្រីត្រូវតែចោទជាប់ជាមួយនឹងប្តីទៀត
To love her husband.
ហើយស្រឡាញ់ប្តីនាង
And to do so for Christ's sake.
ហើយទាំងនេះដែលយើងបានដឹងអំពីការដែលព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទ
You know, a lot of people, they think love, it is just a feeling.
I, that manu chi chirang ke chibram yi ta os, ka sa lang kon na chi ka mui da kit da ram tha.
You know, the young woman, she see a handsome man and she say, oh, I am in love.
I ya, bai da chi, barah vay khmey, nang sutray vay khmey, ke khoy klip klip cho khnong lung.
Maybe a young man see a beautiful woman, he say, oh, I love her.
Bai chi,បារោះវិញវិញក្មេងនឹងឃើញព្រាមអូបងស្រឡាញ់អូនណា
Maybe they get married and after 1 year or 2 year or 6 year they say I don't love you anymore.
បាយជារៀបការបានមួយឆ្នាំពីរឆ្នាំឬ6ឆ្នាំក្រោយមកបាយបាយអូនហើយ6ទៀត
In Titus chapter 2
អានៅក្នុងព្រះគម្ពីរទីតូចពុទ្ធ2
God says that love is something that has to be taught.
I ព្រះម្ចាស់មានព្រះបន្ទូលថាស្រីស្រឡាញ់មានន័យថាការប្រព្រឹត្ត
Verse 3 says that old women are to be teachers of good things.
I copy បានប្រាប់ថាស្ត្រីចាស់ត្រូវតែបង្រៀនដល់ក្មេងៗ
Verse 4 and verse 5 someone read.
I សម័យអានខ4ខ5
ដើម្បីនឹងបង្ហាត់ដល់ស្រីភីនេះឲ្យគេស្រឡាញ់ប្តីនិងកូនខ្លួនខ5ឲ្យមានចិត្តនឹងធឹងឲ្យចិត្តស្មោះធម៌ហើយបរិសុទ្ធជាអ្នកដែលរវល់តែនឹងការងារនៅផ្ទះខ្លួនហើយមានចិត្តល្អនឹងចោះជួចំពោះប្តីដើម្បីកុំឲ្យមានអ្នកណាប្រមាថដល់ព្រះបន្ទូលបានឡើយ
អាមែន
It says we have to work, we have to teach.
ហើយនេះឯងនិយាយអំពីអ្វីដែលធ្វើនិយាយអំពីអ្វីដែលបង្រៀន
Those of you who are older women, you have an obligation to teach your children, your grandchildren and younger women in your neighborhood and your church.
អាយកាលទាំងនេះដែលយើងជាស្ត្រីចាស់យើងគួរតែបង្រៀនដល់ស្ត្រីក្មេងក្មេងដល់កូនដល់ចៅដល់ចៅទួតឬក៏ជាក្រុមជំនុំរបស់យើង
To be obedient to God's word
ដើម្បីឲ្យយើងស្ដាប់បង្គាប់ព្រះបន្ទូលរបស់ព្រះ
To do what God has commanded you to do
ហើយធ្វើអ្វីដែលព្រះម្ចាស់បានបញ្ជាឲ្យយើងធ្វើ
And the best way that you can do this is by your example
ហើយការដែលល្អបំផុតគឺយើងអាចធ្វើការទាំងនេះបានព្រោះយើងជាគំរូ
Now older men we have an obligation to teach younger men also
ហើយមនុស្សចាស់ត្រូវតែបង្រៀនដល់ក្មេង
ៗ We have an obligation to teach our children by our example
យើងមានអភ័យឯកសិទ្ធិដើម្បីនៅបង្រៀនដល់ក្មេងៗដែលសារយើងជាគំរូដល់ពួកគេទាំងអស់គ្នា
Children they learn what they see
ឯកមេក្មេងគេរៀនអំពីអ្វីដែលគេមើលឃើញ
So in our homes in our family
ដូច្នេះនៅក្នុងក្រុមគ្រួសារខ្ញុំនៅក្នុងផ្ទះរបស់ខ្ញុំ
We have an opportunity not only to belong to Jesus by his grace
ហើយយើងមិនត្រឹមតែទទួលស្គាល់ថាយើងជាកម្មសិទ្ធិរបស់ព្រះបរមាចារ្យដែលសាប្រគុណទ្រង់ទេ
To sing songs and speak words of praise to him
មិនត្រឹមតែជាសារមកាងនឹងពាក្យអរប្រគុណដល់ព្រះអម្ចាស់ទេ
But we have the opportunity to actually live what he has commanded us to live
ហើយប៉ុន្តែយើងមានអភ័យឯកសិទ្ធិរស់នៅអំពីអ្វីដែលព្រះម្ចាស់ចង់ឲ្យយើងរស់នៅ
And to be a living example of Jesus' love
ដើម្បីឲ្យយើងរស់នៅជាគំរូដល់ព្រះ
So that we might be in the family of God, but that we might also be families of God. In closing, I want to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter
24.
Whenever we have understood the Word of God and how it applies to our lives, then we are faced with a choice that we must make. In Joshua's day, the question was about serving other gods or the true God. For us, it is the same choice. But maybe not always a choice of physical idols so much as a choice of obedience to what our God has commanded. Joshua faced the children of Israel and he presented to them the choice that is theirs. For us, the choice is just as clear every day. Verse 15 of Joshua 24. Amen. So I say to you today, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It is easy for me to say. I need your prayer for me that I will be able to do. And I likewise pray that each day that is a choice each one of you will make.
Amen.
To teach your children to obey. If you are women who are married, to submit to your husband. As unto the Lord. If you are men who are married, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. To love her as your own body. And together to recognize that God's love has placed us in His family. So we are responsible to Him as our Father. He is the head. And our obedience is required. And in that obedience, there are great promises. So as for us, for our houses, let us serve the Lord. Okay, we have maybe 20 minutes left. If there are any question anyone want to ask.
No,